Father, we thank you for your word, which is truth. And we pray that the Holy Spirit is the counselor, is the one who leads us and guides us into truth, that you will help us understand, apply, and obey the things that you're speaking into our life today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Those who know me well, no, one of the things that I like is movies. I like watching a good movie. But if you're going to watch a movie with me, there's a couple of things you need to know. Firstly, I've been banned from the sofa sitting beside my kids when they were younger. The reason for that, if a movie's a little bit jumpy or a little bit scary, then I'm very jumpy. So I jump, the kids laugh, so they banned me and they moved me onto the other sofa. The other thing that happens with me with movies, I get quite emotional when I'm watching movies. There's nothing I like better than a true story that kind of there's an underdog and someone having to overcome the odds and battle. And I've been known to cry at the end or shout or cheer or respond in some way that's quite emotional. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I love the book of Revelation so much. It's this cosmic story. It's this fantastic plot, far greater than anything Star Wars could ever produce, far deeper than Guardians of the Galaxy, but just something that has a real eternal and a cosmic plot. And as we've been looking at the New Testament as a church and going through very soon, some of you may be coming to the book of Revelation with lots of symbols, lots of things that we don't understand about it. But I want to unpack just two simple truths for you this morning that I think will help you see what the book of Revelation actually teaches us. The first thing this morning that the book of Revelation teaches us is that God will fulfill his eternal purposes. In other parts of the book of Revelation, we get this incredible picture of heaven and the new heaven and the new earth, and 144 miles high and just made of pure gold, that it's so pure that it looks clear. Can you imagine the cost of that? Did you know that there's actually a baby cot that's made of pure gold? The cost's around $15 million. Well, you can imagine the cost of a whole city made of gold. And God comes and shows us something about him fulfilling his eternal purposes, because there are 9 times in the book of Revelation, twice in chapter 21 of Revelation, where John comes and says, God is going to make everything new. Part of that newness is that he will wipe away every tear, every sadness, every sense of grief, every loss that's been in people's experience. God comes and makes everything new. You see, I think it's important that we know that God is interested in transformation, because that's his eternal plan. Paul, in Colossians chapter 1, in a great passage where he unpacks the truth about Jesus, said that the purpose of God's work in the cross through Jesus was that he might reconcile all of creation to himself. Think about that. As NASA sent that rocket recently up into space, and we see those pictures, and we get this bigger picture of something that's cosmic, that's galaxy-wide. Well, God has a plan that's eternity-wide. And that plan involves you and I. God is working towards his purpose, despite what may be happening in the world, despite what may have been happening in history. God has a plan, and he is working his eternal plan towards the end. And that is that all things might be reconciled to himself through the work of Jesus on the cross. It's the importance of the prayer and the song that Giovanni led us in earlier. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's part of God's plan, that his will is done. And his will is to bring change and transformation into our lives. Maybe some of you who are listening to this today need to realize that God might want to birth something new in you. That he is a God of change, that he is a God of transformation, that he wants to bring something from the old into the newness of your life. Jesus himself said, new wine requires new wineskin. So I want to encourage you to be open to the newness that God might have for you. I also want you to be encouraged by the fact that whatever grief, whatever loss, whatever pain you are experiencing now, that that's not how God defines you. That's not how God sees you from an eternal perspective. That's not his plan and his purpose for you. God's plan and his purpose is written clearly down. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order has passed away. God is wanting to do something new in you. The second thing we can learn is that God will be the focus of our eternal purpose. Later on in Revelation, it goes on to say this: I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the pressures of life. It's so easy to get caught up in the problems of life. It's so easy to get caught up in the cares of life. And Jesus actually warned us that those things can choke out our very spiritual life. They can cause us to be distracted. They can cause us to shipwreck our faith when we get so caught up in those things and we miss the eternal perspective that God brings to us. That's one of the important messages of the book of Revelation, that God is working an eternal plan. But the second major message is that God himself is the focus of our eternal purpose. Just think for a moment, no more energy bills, no more worrying about bills in general, and God himself being the focus of our attention. I don't know about you, but it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get distracted spiritually from the things we know to be true, from the things we know should be the priorities in our life, but so easy to get drawn aside, often by legitimate things, but sometimes they choke our spiritual life. And God comes to us, says to us in eternity, he will be the focus. God Almighty himself will be the focus of our eternal purpose. You know what? We do easily get caught up, but we shouldn't. Jesus' brother James wrote a book for us. It's full of wisdom. And part of the thing that he was trying to do was to warn people not to rely on their wealth, not to rely on their riches, not to rely on their health, not to rely on their plans. And one of the things he says in chapter 4, verse 14, is that our life is like a mist. Now, we think we're so important. We think that the world should revolve around us. But actually, the Bible comes and says that our life, with all that we invest in it, that all we do to protect it, that all we do to make it comfortable, it's like a mist. It comes and it goes. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And in contrast, we see that God is eternal. That God himself is eternal in his nature. And we get the opportunity to share that with him. The most valued reality is not what we have here and now. In fact, I'm going to put on screen a couple of scriptures for you that kind of refocus our attention back on God. I'm back on his eternal nature. This is what they say. He is the city's temple. That God wants to dwell with us. That God wants to be in relationship with us. That he is the city's light. No sun, no moon. He's the one that gives it light. He is the city's center's focus and his authority. That's an incredible truth for us, but it even goes on more. Look at your screen and you will see some scriptures that see why this is so important for us. So important for us to grasp that God, in fact, is the center and should be our center. What does this mean for us? It means that the New Jerusalem is a safe, active, and inviting city for the nations of the world. It means that the gates are never shut because there will never be any threat. Won't have to lock doors. There's no threat. The nations of the earth will find healing and life in the city. And the Lord and the Spirit give us that invitation when they say, come. I want to share a short inspiring video with you now. It's only a couple of minutes long, but I think you'll find it useful. I think you'll find it inspiring to think about the God of eternity working in our life on what he wants to do. So let's watch it together.
I live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world. It's a comforting thought, however. It is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I'm deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes and changed my heart. I'm lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine. Without God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be. Is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It's a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world. That there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's just foolish to think God does not exist.
I hope you enjoyed watching that video. I hope you enjoyed the fact that as you've seen, the script was flipped, the script was reversed, that actually there is meaning and purpose in God, that there is significance in following him. God can give us a new perspective. God can open up a new way to us, and he certainly gives us that invitation. God's invitation to you is to live the life that you were created for. The Bible says in one of the wisdom books in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes that God has planted the seed of eternity in our hearts. Think about that. We were made for more than this life. We were made for something greater. We were made for a greater purpose, not just this life, but eternity. The Bible says that we will spend eternity in one of two places. And in this life, we have a choice. We won't have a choice in the next life. We have to choose to follow God now. Because in the next life, we won't be given that opportunity. We won't be given that choice. I want you to consider seriously this morning about choosing to follow God, because He is the eternal God. He is the eternal reality, and He invites you to come to Him to receive His forgiveness, to receive His fulfillment, to live your life and purpose, to know that you have meaning and significance beyond this life. We'd love to help you do that this morning. You can connect to us on Facebook. You can connect to us on YouTube. You can connect through our website. And after the service at 11:30 a.m., we'll be meeting on Zoom. The guys can give you directions about how to get on that. Would love to encourage you, would love to pray with you, would love to give you the opportunity to begin that journey. Every journey begins with a single step, and you can say yes to God this morning. But there's some of you, and you're listening to this, and you've already begun that journey, you've already said yes to God. So I want to encourage you to think along these lines. You've said yes to God, but what is your highest priority? What are your highest values? Maybe you would quickly and easily say, well, it's God. But hang on a minute, just pause before you really answer that truthfully. Is He the highest priority? Is He the highest value in your life? What would others who live with you say? What would others who are around you say? Are you living with that eternal perspective? Are you living with the understanding that one day you will have to give an account to God for the things that He's given you, for the stewardship of your very life, for the stewardship of your gift? It's serious and it's sobering. I can't promise you an easy life. I can't promise you that things will go well with you. But I can promise you this. One day, we will all have to stand before God. One day, we will all have to stand and give an account. You have an opportunity today to make that life count. How are you weighing your life against what you say? What can you do for others, to others, to show that Jesus Christ really is the center? In a moment, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to encourage you to pray, to bow your head and pray. And whether you've never taken that first step, you can do that right now. Or whether you've taken that step many years ago, maybe you can come back and ask God the Holy Spirit, show me how to bring my values and my life in line with that eternal perspective. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that there is an eternal perspective. That even if life is challenging for us now, that even if life is full of problems and pressures, You give us a different perspective. There is an eternal perspective. There is an eternal hope. And that eternal hope is centered in You being the source of our light and our salvation. Help us to live with that eternal perspective, knowing that one day You can wipe away every tear, every sadness, every grief, every loss. Help us to say yes to You today. In the name of Jesus. Amen.